Hello, friends. Defense against the adversary. We know who he is. We've had lessons on this before. But today I'm going to give you some good points and things to follow to protect yourself against the adversary, who is the devil and Satan. So listen, go get your Bibles and take some good notes. We'll be right back with the message.
God, to come before your throne, to touch your face, Lord. We're here because we love you and we come to worship you, God, from our hearts. Thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture today is Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Okay. Well, this morning, I want to talk about a subject that we really don't talk about too much, but my inspiration for this was Simone, because of the situation about the Ouija board and all that stuff. And this is a subject that we don't touch very much because I think we think we're going to become like sensational, you know, about it. And the thing about it is that no one really takes it seriously anymore, because if you see and you watch the TV shows and if you sit there and listen to music, all these things are a gateway that the devil uses. And we sit there and we don't take it seriously. We take it as a joke. But I assure you right now, my friends, it's not a joke. Especially in these times, because he knows that he doesn't have much time left, you know. So I was inspired while I'm sitting there at work, and I began to write and write, and I said, these things have to be said. I got to be done. I've got to do this. I need to help Simone. There's got to be a way we can help her with your granddaughter, right? And this is important, my friends, and you see it on TV. I mean, they take it as a joke. They sit there and they talk to ghosts and go on to Ouija boards and play with tarot cards and talk to psychics and all that. But I assure you right now, my friends, it's not a joke. Because once you play with this, you are venturing to ground that you have no business venturing in. Okay, so this is what I want to speak about. And I've had things happen to me personally that I can attest to that have happened to me in the past. You know, at one time, what's the word I'm looking for? Like my mother would say, son, you need to give yourself to Jesus, you know, and let him run your life. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, sure. No, I didn't. I played with something that I shouldn't have, and someone got hurt. Someone got hurt. I was younger, you know, I was in my 20s. I'm telling you, my friends, we need the blood of the Lamb. This is the only solution. But before we get to that, I want to talk about a couple of things, okay? I'm going to give you a couple of stories so that we can see the glory of God, my friends, working. Now, in order for us to understand where all this comes from, we need to know who the adversary is, right? And that's why I put defense against the adversary. And if you notice, this is what I noticed this morning. I was telling Terry that nothing was going the way it was supposed to this morning. If you all notice that, you know, and it was the same way when I was preparing this. He was doing everything in his power to distract us. And that's one of the things he will do, you know. So I was telling Terry, look at this. She goes, I told her, you know why this is happening? It's because of what we're going to talk about today. He doesn't want no one to know about this. He doesn't want anyone to know about this. But if we go to Isaiah chapter 14, this is a mastermind, my friends. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, this is not going to be the origin of evil. We're just going to get a description of who we're dealing with. Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 12. And if you have the Pew Bible, it's page 799. Page 799. And we'll begin in verse 12. Begin in verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my thrones above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
And when you think about it, the cornerstone of sin is what? Selfishness, right? Talk about being selfish, big ego. Also, Ezekiel 28, we're getting a picture of Lucifer. Ezekiel chapter 28, and it's going to be on page 988 and 989 of the Pew Bible. This is describing Lucifer. And it begins in verse 12 of Ezekiel 28. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord God. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were indeed in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So we see he was beautiful, right? Gorgeous. And guess what, my friends? He still appears that way. Remember that. He still appears that way. We read on. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. So he was a very powerful angel, had a very high position, did he not? You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Till sin was found in him. Okay, now we've described the adversary. We see who he is. He's beautiful. He's powerful, right? He was so cunning that he was able to, listen to this now, he convinced a third of the angels, okay? But don't worry about this because he only convinced a third of the angels. He's still greatly outnumbered, my friends. Two-thirds are still at God's side. Remember something. God will protect you. He has an army. He has an army bigger than... Imagine we all have what? An angel assigned to us, okay? And that's counting the living. What about all the ones that have gone in the past that had angels assigned to them? We're talking billions and billions and billions of them. So we have nothing to worry about. So we see that with him acting in this way, filling heaven with all these lies, with all this gossip, with all this, he was tearing down the personality of God. What happened next? We go to Revelation chapter 12, and we'll see what happened next. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. We're familiar with this, and it's page 1416 in your Pew Bible. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Okay. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth with his angels and were cast out with him. He was here. He's sent here. Guess what he's doing? He is deceiving the whole world. And that's what he's doing, my friends. He is deceiving. He is a great deceiver. And one thing we need to know is we need to study our Word of God so that we do not become those that are deceived. Okay, this is the way the Bible describes them, okay? You can write these verses down. I'll go slow if you want to. Now, Lucifer, Satan, the adversary, is a murderer. John 8:4. He makes war on God's people. We see this in Revelation 12:17. He imprisons us, Revelation 2:10. He works miracles. He lies. We're going to see these right here. Revelation 16:13-14. He brings disease. He afflicts people. Job 2:7. He quotes and he misquotes the Bible. We see this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He traps us. He ensnares us in 2 Timothy 2:26 and 1 Peter 5:8. He possesses people, my friends. Possesses, and it still happens. Luke 22:3-5 and 1 Thessalonians 2:18. And also, he appears as an angel of light. He appears as an angel of light. And I don't want no one to worry because, like I said, when you need help, God's going to send help. Remember Naaman? Excuse me. Okay, let's go to, this is one of my favorite stories. We're going to get to the, we're going to get right to the meat of the story. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and I want you to remember this story. 2 Kings, chapter 6, and verse, it'll be on page 428, if you have the Pew Bible. So it'll be chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17. Okay, when you think everything is against, that you're backed up against the wall, that things aren't looking too good for you, and you ask God for help, remember something. At the moment you ask God for help, I want you to know something here. Help's already there before you ask for it. Remember that. It's already there, okay? But God wants you to ask Him. All right. Verses 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And their servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Could you imagine him stepping out there as he walks out and looks outside and goes running back inside? You know, he turns around and goes back inside and says, no. He's all worried and stressed. So then he goes and he says, so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And I could just see the servant of Elisha looking at Elijah like he's crazy. "What are you talking about? We have nothing out there. There's a whole army out there against us. What are we going to do?" So Elisha says, you know what? Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. Could you imagine this? As he opened his eyes again and looked outside, can you imagine what he saw out there? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's the way it is for us, my friends. God will send those angels to protect you. There are so many stories where angels have come out to help us, even to this day. There's still that. We still have that, my friends. But looking out there, you see that army, and I could just see the servant of God going, "I'm going to go back inside and take a nap now then." No stress. He wasn't worried anymore. So I want to turn to one of the things that the devil likes to do, and that is to deceive us. And we're going to talk about King Saul. All right, King Saul, remember, he wanted to do things his way. And we talked about this 4 or 5 Sabbaths ago. Remember when I brought up about doing the will of God? He wanted to do what he wanted to when it came to the Amalekites. And of course, God withdrew from him. But in reality, it's you withdrawing from God because God never leaves you. So he was always being harassed by demons. So David had to come and play music for him to soothe him, right? Okay, now we're going to go to... Things got so bad for him that Saul decided to do his own thing again and disobey God because that was Saul. I don't know why. He was, I don't understand. God gives us a blueprint right here, my friends, and we say, "Oh, right, here's a blueprint." We sit there, we look at it, we read it. Okay, yeah, but I'm going to do my own thing. We walk away from it. Why? Our stubbornness, our human stubbornness, our selfishness. We want to do things our way. I know what I'm going to do because I'm smart. I got this. Not the truth. It doesn't happen that way, my friends. We have to rely on God. So let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. We're going to read about Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Where am I wrong? Okay. I was already there. 1 Samuel chapter 28. And we're going to read verses 7 through 19. We're going to get a little story here. Okay, now, put your finger there. I want you guys to do this. When you get to chapter 28, it's page 345. I want you guys to listen to this. I want you guys to go to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. Okay, Saul knows this, okay? Saul knows this. You know he knows this, but this is what he's going to do. He's going to do the opposite. But let's read what it says in Leviticus. Leviticus. And page 134. Chapter 19 and verse 31. All right, ready? Here we go. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Okay, is this a suggestion that God's giving us? It's not. It's a command, right? Also, we go on to another one in Leviticus, chapter 20 and verse 27. And this is the punishment for doing this, for being a medium. That's 136, page 136. We're in verse 27 of chapter 20. And this is what it says. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has a familiar spirit shall surely be given a TV show. Is that not the case today, my friends? Yes, it's true. It's true. They have their own TV shows and their own advertisements. They're selling cell phones. They're doing everything, my friends. They're not being... No, it says here that a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. So there, now we know what you're supposed to do, and we're going to see what that Saul's going to do, what he's not supposed to do. All right, let's read on from 7. We'll start in chapter 28 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, and we're going to read verse 7 on. Then Saul said to his servant, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul went and disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, Please conduct a seance, my friends. Please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done. Now, how he has cut off his mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? So she knew the law too, right? She knew that she could be put to death for being a medium, right? Okay, read on. Then the woman said to him, look. I'm sorry, verse 10. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing, because I'm breaking the law too, you know. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? Now you notice that Saul didn't see what she saw, right? Saul did not see what she saw. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending up out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. So he didn't see who it was, but he perceived that it was Samuel the prophet. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me from bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. There before the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Immediately, Saul fell on the length of the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. So you see, mess with a medium, you're messing with your life. I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. What was the outcome of this vision that Saul got? That Saul received, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel, we'll go to chapter 31. 31, verses 2 through 4. He said that he was going to die. He thought he was going to be killed in battle, but what did he do? Okay. Then the Philistines followed, chapter 31, verse 2, 31, verse 2. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. Saul took his own life, my friends. Saul, that's what you might call a self-fulfilling prophecy. Saul took the advice, knowing there was nothing, no hope for him, because that's what the medium told him, there was no hope for him, and he took his own life. Now, the devil does not love you, I'm sorry to say. So he's going to do everything in his power to kill you, or to kill someone you love. In the last month, I have been to 2 funerals of co-workers that have passed away. One 41, the other one 31, leaving 4 children. The youngest, a 5-year-old who doesn't understand what's going on. The devil wants to take us before we accept Jesus. Because when he does that, guess what? He wins. He wins. Now we know that when you're playing with mediums, that it can be a gateway to possessions. I'm telling you. And talking about mediums, Long Island medium. She'll sit there in a group of people. She has her own TV show, of course, and she does commercials now, right? And look at you and then say, "You're this, this, and that, and this, and this, and that." And she says, "Well, it's the spirits of the dearly departed that are telling me these things." She's being deceived just like they are. She thinks she hears a voice of the departed. No, she's not. She's hearing the spirit of a demon. And why? How does this demon know all these little things about you? Because what do they do? What do they do on a daily basis? They study us. They study everything we do. They study the way we grab our bottle and drink it. They study little things that we don't ever think about that they use against you. And that's what's going on. She is deceiving and being deceived, my friends. And I feel bad for her. You know, I really feel bad for her that she actually believes that she's speaking to the departed people of departed spirits. And that's another subject, of course, about what happens when you die. We know the subject. But here, another one. Dr. Sylvia Brown. Everybody remember Sylvia Brown? She used to come out on Montel Williams or CNN and all these other shows she'd come on. And okay. She came out on Montel Williams, I think it was in 2004. Did a lot of research. And everybody remembers Amanda Berry, right? She was one of the 3 that was kidnapped in Cleveland. Okay, so the mother of Amanda Berry asked Sylvia, "What about my daughter? What do you see? Where's my daughter? Where do you see her?" And Sylvia Brown says, "I'm sorry, honey, but she's dead. But she says she's here in heaven waiting for you. She's here waiting for you, but she's okay. She's happy." And I'm sitting there and I read this and it disgusts me because Amanda Berry's mother died 2 years later of heart failure. Or maybe a broken heart. But she died of heart failure, never knowing that her daughter was going to be rescued 10 years later. Not even an apology. Not even an oops, I made a mistake. Nothing. She said nothing. Whatever demon was on that assignment and gave her the wrong information. That's all I have to say. This, my friends, is you don't play with that stuff. I'm sorry, you know. You open up the doors to things that we have no business dealing with, my friends. If you're not equipped, and that's the one thing we're going to talk about, you need to be equipped to deal with this thing. And then once you become possessed, I'm sorry to say, you're going to need a lot of help. And you know what? I'm telling you right now, my friends, we are followers of Jesus, right? And that was something that Jesus said that we might have to do is perform an exorcism. I'm not trying to sound like a... Me and James are gonna go. Who wants to get exercised today? We're not gonna do that. No. But I'm saying, though, be prepared, my friends, that when you go before God, when you go before the adversary, you need to know your scripture, because that's all you need to use. And you need to be covered with the blood of the Lamb. Let's talk about a possession here. Okay, let's go to Mark. I hope you guys don't think I'm getting sensationalistic, but this is important. Very important, Simone. We have Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 21 through 26. Okay. And I want you to think about where this person was that was possessed, okay? Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, this is page 1152, if you have a pew Bible, 1152. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they entered the synagogue, my friend. That's a church, right? And they were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So we see here, they know who he is. They've known him forever, right? But think about this. This person was in the church, and he's possessed. He's possessed. He was in a synagogue. Another one. Matthew chapter 8, verses 28. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Eleven twenty. When he had come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, I always thought it was Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment?" Listen to this. "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" The devil knows he don't have time. He knows it's an appointed time for him to be destroyed, my friends. So he's going to do, especially in these days, he knows time is short. He'll do everything he can to take somebody and possess them and do what he wishes with them. Another thing is that if you are possessed and you were excised and a demon has left you, remember something here. This is something that I wrote here. Read Matthew chapter 12, verse 44. Just because the demon's been taken, exercised out of you, don't think you're safe, because tell me what you need to do here, okay? Verse 33, actually. Verse 33 and 44. Okay, 1125, verse 43 and 44 of chapter 12 on page 1125. Okay. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. So you see, once that happens, my friends, once you clean yourself out, guess what you need to do? You need to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. You need to fill yourself with the blood of the Lamb so that nothing could enter into you. That is what you don't want. You need Jesus in your life, my friends. You need to put him at the front. Make him your Lord and your Savior. And if you don't know him, then that's what's going to happen. Repossessed. And if you think you want to go and help someone out, that you think you can do an exorcism, handle it on your own, you know what? If you don't know Jesus, guess what's going to happen? Go to Acts chapter 19. Verses 13 through 16. 1279 of your pew Bible. We'll start in verse 13. Acts chapter 19, verses 13, and we're going to read all the way through 16 of page 1279 of the pew Bible if you have one. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcised you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" So then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and he overpowered them, and he prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So if you think you're going to go in there, my friends, that you're not prepared, that's what's going to happen. You need to know Jesus. In other words, he's saying, "Jesus I know, he's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He has the power to cast me out of here. He's God." And then he says about Paul, "I know Paul. Paul is a servant of the Holy God. Paul has that power that God has given him. He is a son of God. Becoming a son of God, you have this power." And now, I know we're thinking, well, why is he talking about this? I'm telling you, my friends, it's going on so much right now. I see a lot of this stuff at work. Things are getting ugly, my friends. We're living in end times. He's running out of time. And whenever, if you notice something also, whenever a devil is exercised out of a, if you read it here, they go into convulsions and all that because they're fighting. They don't want to let go. And that's the way the devil is. That's why in the end, he's going to try to fight to get that city because he does not want to let go. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to take us with him. He doesn't want us to have love because he hates God so much. And what other way can I affect you? If I can't hurt you, I'm going to hurt your children. And that hurts so much. And we saw that when God put his son on the cross. But he prevailed, right? He prevailed, my friends. Now, I'm going to give you guys five things you can do to prepare for this, to defend yourself. Okay, listen to this. It's very important, okay? We're going to, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to go in there, my friends, confessed. We need to go in there and confess to the Lord and give ourselves. Another thing is we need to trust in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12:11 says this. Let's go to Revelation 12, verse 11. This is how we overcome. Page 1417, if you have a pew Bible. Revelation 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They gave themselves, my friends, the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Also, a third thing you could do, Psalms 101, verses 2 and 3. Psalms 101, verses 2 and 3. Psalms 101, verses 2 and 3. Page 689. I will set nothing with, well, verse 2. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Verse 3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away, and it shall not cling to me. So what we need to do is we need to get rid of those evil things in our homes, my friends. It all starts at home. We need to get rid of those evil things. Watch what we watch, you know, because there's like, oh, there's bad TV, my friends. A lot of things on TV talk about the supernatural stuff. And I'm telling you, TV is a gateway. It's a one-eyed monster. It will hypnotize you. You're opening yourself up. Music also, my friends. You need to watch what you listen to. Some of this Christian music, so-called Christian music, it's me. I'm conservative when it comes to music. It sounds like it's rock music. You know, it's disguised rock. A Christian, they put lyrics into it. But that's another subject. Also, 1 John 1:7, okay? 1 John 1:7, another thing we need to do. to protect ourselves. 1 John 1:7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what we need to do, my friends, we need a fellowship with fellow Christians, my friends. We need a fellowship with fellow Christians. I'm not saying to hide from the world, because we have to go out there and preach the gospel. But what I'm saying is don't make it a habit to go to places where you know these things lie. You don't need that. You need to hang out, have Christian fellowship, my friends, because I tell you what, they will be your defenders. I'm not going to go into a battle with, okay, I'm going to go against a company of ISIS troops, but I'm going to take a couple of store clerks with me. I'm the only soldier. I'm going to take some clerks in there. We're going to take them on. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to have that equally people that are equally armed as you are. You have to take a soldier to fight a war. You don't take a clerk to fight a war. You have to take a soldier to fight a war. That's why you need to keep yourself with the fellowship of your Christian brothers, my friends, as much as you can. And also, another thing, 5, we need to put the Word of God in our hearts. Very important, we need to put the Word of God in our hearts. Jesus used it to fight the devil. He memorized Scripture, my friends. We need to do that. We need to read it daily, put it in our hearts. It is our defense against our foe, who is Lucifer, Satan, and his minions. That's what we need to do, my friends. And those are the 5 things, but I want to read this before we close. Ephesians chapter 6. Everyone knows this one. Ephesians chapter 6. Page 1347. We're going to start at 11 all the way down to 17. Okay. There it is, my friends. Going into battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of salvation, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, all of them, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, my friends. This is our defense. This is our defense, my friends. We need to accept Jesus, my friends. We need to study daily. We need to read our Bibles daily, memorize them. This is our defense, my friends, against the wiles of the evil one. And I'm telling you, we can't do it without the blood of the Lamb. We need to accept Jesus. That is our Savior only. We sure do that really quick, don't we? Lord, save me. He needs to be our Lord. We need to do His will. Then, my friends, you become one of the sons of God, and He will protect you. And He's given us all the things we need to protect ourselves right here, my friends. This is our armory right here. When we go pick up our weapon, this is it right here, my friends. It's the Word of God. Remember this. Remember that, my friends.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day you've given us. To come before you, Lord, we thank you so much for being there and protecting us, God, the way you have always protected us, Lord, from the beginning of time. We ask you, God, to be with us each and every day because we are going to be harassed and assaulted. But Lord, you gave us a shield, Lord, so those darts will bounce right off of us. We ask you, God, to be with each and every one of us, Father, daily, praying for your help, Lord, even though you already sent it to us. But God, that we don't forget that you're there for us always, God. Be with each and every one of us throughout the week, Father. And send us your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, so we can be Spirit-filled. This we ask in your Son, in Jesus' holy and precious name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, friends, for once again joining me for our time with God and His Word. And I ask you now to pray for those people that are suffering at this moment in time, those that are suffering in Ukraine and this war. I ask you guys to pray for them dearly, okay? I'll close with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for letting me come before this audience, Lord, and teaching them how to protect and defend themselves against the adversary. I ask you, God, to be with those that are suffering at this moment, Lord, and be with those in Ukraine and Europe, Father. Thank you for your presence always being around. And until we meet again, Father, may you come soon and take us away from all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, friends, may the good Lord hold you in His hand. May the good Lord protect you, and may His holy angels be surrounding you. Until next time, this is Robert with our time with God and His Word.